Hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and today we're going to be back in study number 6, which is the letter F in our ABC series of the family, the Christian home, particularly what we're talking about. We're not interested in the way that the world considers family and what the world thinks about family, because they have no foundation concerning the truth when it comes to the family. And of course, we see evidence of that, and a lot of us have been in the world before we were saved, and we understand what family is. There are moral families and families that live by works and have security and all the things of the world and things like that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a family that loves Jesus Christ and loves our Heavenly Father and lives according to what the Scriptures say. According to what the Scriptures say. And that's what we're interested in today, is finding out what the Scriptures say. If we're not going to use God's Word, then we might as well just go fishing or whatever we need to do. But God's Word is our final authority, right? Well, I welcome you and I thank you. I hope you've been looking up those verses that I've been giving you when I remember it. And we've been in the family, and just to recap just a little bit, we talked about the first home and where the family comes from and who made the family and where the woman come from and how she was made and how the man was made. And we also have talked about the marriage and what the couple is to leave and what the couple is to become. We've talked about the things that are honorable concerning the family and what the Bible says. And the Bible says that marriage is honorable. The Bible not shacking up. The Bible says marriage is honorable. Okay? The bed is undefiled. The bed is undefiled. That means the marriage bed is undefiled. The Lord says that there's nothing that the husband and wife can do in the marriage bed that is defiled in His eyes. Of course, it's pure in His eyes. So then we talked about the husband's duty to his wife. And we went over some things there. He is to cleave to his wife. Remember, draw close to her and close in contact with her and hold her close, and to resist separation. And that's what I thought a woman would want out of a man, is to draw close to her and y'all two become one and even start looking alike. But the poor thing, I feel sorry for anybody who have to be starting to look like me, huh? He is to love his wife. And a man is to love his wife as Christ, the Scripture says, as Christ's love for the church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And as is supposed to, a man is supposed to love his wife as his own body, according to what the Bible says. He is to provide for his wife. He's to give honor to his wife. Now, these are not things to be spoken in. Just be said and let it go over your head, you know, and just turn your back on it. These are very important things. This is truth. This is doctrine. This is what a husband is supposed to be concerned about from the Lord and from God's authority, His Word, concerning how he's supposed to treat his wife and the duty. His duty, according to the Scriptures, to his wife. We also talked about the wife's duty to her husband and went over some things there also. The wife is to submit herself and to be in subjection to her husband. And the Scripture says not only to submit and be in subjection, but that's in everything the Bible says. And God's Word is perfect all the way down to the Word. God's words are just as inspired as His Word is. And when He said everything, He means everything. And the Lord has reason for that. And if a husband and wife are sincerely trying to commit themselves to their marriage, and that that the Lord Jesus Christ is first and the husband and wife are second, but they're first on this earth considering each other, then they're sincere about what they're learning that they need to be like according to the scriptures. And things are not going to offend them when they find out there's some things that you need to change. The Bible says that the husband is to reverence, she is to reverence her husband. The wife is to reverence her husband. She's to have, this means in regards of feelings and of respect and reverence. You want to talk about getting a man motivated for his wife and his family. You let his wife respect him and reverence him, and you watch him. He'll put feet to it. He'll put feet to it. You women need to listen to that. If you reverence your husband and you show him respect and show him reverence, he'll go out of his way. He'll spend his life trying to help you and trying to take care of you. Yes, he will. You try and see. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, that's scripture for that one. She is to guide the household. The woman is to, her duty to her husband is to guide that household. And the wife is to learn from her husband. We learned that. And the wife is to be obedient to her husband. And we don't have to go over what obedient means. You can feel people cringe when that word is said. You say that word in front of, when I'd be in them churches and stuff like that, in the churches I'd be in, if I said the word obedient, you could feel a cringe go across the audience. And people just don't like that word. But it is a Bible word, and it's a scriptural word, and God means it. And when the Bible says that the wife is to be obedient to her husband, she's to do it because she wants to and not because she has to, and because it's the Lord's will, first of all. If God says it, then I want to be like that. And that's the way our attitudes ought to be, and our heart ought to be. If the Lord says it, I'm not going to question the Lord. Excuse me, I lost my train of thought. I'm getting old. She's to be obedient to her husband, and there's no other way to explain it. It's just meaning to obey. Now, automatically, everybody wants to go to the critical side of obedience. The Lord describes, and the scripture describes obedience as a beautiful thing, as a beautiful thing. The Lord said it's better to be obedient. He'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. And for a child of God, for a woman to be obedient to her husband is being obedient to the Lord, as unto the Lord, the Bible says. And she's not to defraud her husband, and her husband's not to defraud her when it comes to matters of intimacy and the needs of the flesh and things like that that are necessary in the marriage. And they are so necessary that that they need to be taken care of. B-times, they need to be taken care of right away, the Bible says, unless there is an agreement for both of them to pray and fast, and then and so that they're not tempted by the enemy. And we know how much wickedness, and sex is probably the second god of the United States, money only being the one that's above it. And sex is all over the place, and advertisements for sex, speech for sex, television for sex, 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 sex. And that flesh is continually tempted in that area. So when a husband and wife are taking care of one another concerning that matter, then they'll not be tempted. And that's very important in the marriage. Now, we talked about the parents' duties to their husband. The parents' duties to their children, excuse me. And the parents' duties to their children, the children are the heritage of the Lord. We talked about that. Children should be taught to work. Children should be taught regular habits. And the parents' duties to the children is to teach them. is to teach them the things that they need and mold them into children that love the Lord and believe the Lord and fear the Lord. These children today, and you can tell in society today that there is no fear before their eyes. This young child generation in 2018 does not fear God. They do not fear anything. They don't fear wickedness. They don't fear the Lord. The Bible says that perilous times shall come, and they're getting here. And this is the beginning of the end. It's coming. And the children need to be taught the art, but in a Christian home, there's no reason for there being any comparison concerning your children being like the world. And the children do not have to be like the world and worldly. They do not have to think like the world. They do not have to have imaginations like the world. They don't have to be in this stupid dreamland that the world is in, and this imaginary Bugs Bunny, Walt Disney kind of lifestyle, a theatrical, fake, deceitful lifestyle of violence and sex and drugs and all that. They don't have to have that. If they're guided by their parents and the home is as much a Christian home as it can possibly be concerning that Bible, and that Bible is number one in that household, then the Bible says that you'll save a soul from hell and hide a multitude of sins. Your children can be taught today, but that it has to be on purpose. You're not going to accidentally teach your things. You're not going to accidentally teach your children the things of God. It's not going to happen. Anything that you teach about the Lord and you teach about truth nowadays is going to be on purpose and because you're devoted to it. Children need and should have time with their parents. Children should be taught the right use of money. Remember that. And we talked about that rod. We talked about correction. And there's no way around it. The Bible commands that there be a rod applied to those children to keep that flesh under control so that they can grow spiritually. And it's done in a Christ-like manner. It's done before the Lord. And it's done in the right place. It's done in love. It's done early and right away. And it's applied effectively and consistently. And the Lord promises fruit from that. Now, if the Lord, they're talking about, everybody tries to make the Lord this lovey-dovey, warm, fuzzy God, and He is. But He also has a side, knowing about how human beings are, and Jesus said that human beings are evil. And that we have evil in us, and we know we do. If you're telling the truth, you know you do. And it has to be dealt with. And God the Holy Ghost dwells in us to help us deal with that. But the flesh has to be taken care of, and children have not had practice in their spiritual warfare enough to handle that flesh. So they need assistance handling that flesh. You ever heard somebody talking about one of these children that's just out of control, that he's just out of control, he can't control himself? It's because that flesh has got a hold of him. And that flesh will drive, is driving him. And he needs that rod to help his, to put his flesh in submission. And that's what that's all about. Okay, it ain't about beating the child because he's disobeying. It's about correcting him so you can get the flesh and the spirit in the, you can get the flesh submitted. And submitting it. You know how much trouble you have with the flesh. You can imagine your children that have no spiritual strength yet, and they're relying on you for spiritual strength and for helping them control their flesh. That's what that's all about. And the Lord provided a way for that to happen, and it works. And mighty funny that the only thing that the government and all these so-called knowing about children and knowing the behavior of behavioral science and blabbity blah blah blah, that the only thing that they have disagreed with is the rod. They disagree with the rod. And the rod's the only thing that works according to the Scripture. It's mighty funny that they just happen to be going against what the Scripture says, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, well, we know better than that. We're not stupid. You can go try to fool your grandma. You're not fooling us. We know that. Now, children's duty to their parents. Now, here we go. We're going into this today. And children's duty to their parents. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and children's duty to their parents is pretty basic. It's not long and drawn out and real stringed out in the Scriptures, and there's not a whole lot of advice in the Scriptures. Quantity-wise, is pretty basic. Children's duties to their parents. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A child is to honor his mother and father. And boy, don't we have a trouble with that nowadays. I was directing a troubled men's camp down there, and had men in there anywhere from 20 to 50 to 60 years old, and their relationship with their mother and father, young men and men are growing up hating their mamas and daddies. I mean, despising them and hating them, and nowhere near honoring their father and their mother. And this is something a child has to be taught on purpose, is to honor their mother and father. But a lot of the mothers and fathers nowadays aren't deserving from honor from their children, because their children haven't been taught what honor is, or think it's a contradiction to honor somebody that doesn't deserve honor. Mamas and daddies have to be, we're talking about the Christian family, remember? Mama and daddy are trying to be leading their children and teaching their children in the name of the Lord and from the Scriptures. And they're not ashamed of the Scriptures, not ashamed of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've led them children to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they fear God. These are the kind of children that honor thy father and thy mother. When a child's left to his own in that flesh and left to run amok and doesn't have any leadership or guidance or examples from mama and daddy, they're gonna be a dirty trash can. It's gonna be a their vessel's gonna be a dirty, slimy, nasty trash can, because that's all the world feeds it. And they're not going to have any honor for their father and mother. But the Bible commands the children, the children's duty to their parents is to honor thy mother and thy father. In the Old Testament, when a child didn't honor his mother and father, and he ended up being a drunkard and everything else, his mother and father are instructed in the Scriptures to bring him to the priest. And if he didn't repent and he didn't get right and do what he was supposed to do, they were supposed to stone him and kill him. And his mama and daddy was to grab him by both hands and take him there. Good thing we live in the New Testament, ain't it? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. But see, that's why that rod's in there. That rod is in there to teach. It teaches a lot of things that the rod kind of backs up all the classroom time. When you teach your children and you tell them with words and you tell them with love and you tell them and advise them and instruct them and the father's instruction, the rod kind of backs it all up and just kind of puts everything in place and starts it to working. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. The Bible says that children's duties to their parents is to honor their father and mother. And in Proverbs 13, 1, they're to listen to their parents' instruction. They're to listen to it because they've been taught to, and because they've chosen to want to, not because they have to, even though a child has to listen to instruction sometimes. And you have to fight that flesh and fight that rebellion. And there are battles that go on, and if you're going to raise a child properly, and you're going to raise him because you love him and you want him to be all right and you want him to get strong enough to where he can walk in the Spirit and deny the things of the flesh and honor the Lord in his life. You've got to teach a child how to battle, how to do battle. But you don't start, when somebody enlists in the military, they don't send him right out to the stinking front line of the battlefield. They train him first. And they put him through exercises, and they train him. And then they put him out there. They put him somewhere, and then they teach him a little bit there, and a little bit there, and a little bit there, until he becomes a full-blown soldier. And then they put him out there where he can fight and know what to do. Same thing with children. Children have to be started out with the small things and be taught as they grow. You let them go, and they don't know anything about battling spiritually, and they get grown, and they've had all that time in the flesh, and all them billboards, and all that media, and all that television, all them movies, and all them games, and all that Game Boy, and blah-bitty-blah, and got all that in their minds and in their hearts, and just corrupt as they can be. That's what's going to drive them. That's why America has children in prison for life now. We have children's prisons. You know, that out of all of the prisoners in the entire world, out of 100% of all the prisoners in the entire world, America houses 25% of them. Do you know that? There's a reason for that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." For this is right. You see, not too hard at all. Children's duties to their parents, not much to talk about. The Lord said there's pretty well, it's pretty basic for a child. He's to honor his mom and daddy, give them respect. He's to listen to their instruction, and he's to obey. That's the bottom line. And if you think about your children, that's all they need to do. They just listen to them. You teach them, and they honor you for teaching them. They love you for teaching them. And they listen to your instruction, and they are to obey until they get old enough to where they start practicing things on their own and get a little practice in it as they grow. And you protect them and watch out for them. And then pretty soon they're off on their own, and they're starting to fight these fights on their own. And start facing the enemy and facing the world and facing the devil on their own. Of course, with God the Holy Ghost guiding them and helping them. But what I mean is, as far as a person. Okay, so that's all we're going to talk about concerning children's duties to their parents. Our children are really having it bad in 2018 now. And it's really a critical and a sad state that these children are in. They're dying, and they're going to hell, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. The Lord cares, and but you look at mamas and daddies and people that have children they're responsible for, they don't care. I don't say all of them, but many, 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 many of them. Many of them to the point to where it's critical. It's critical. Now let's talk about something else. Family life. God's heaven on earth. The family life. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." And the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Okay, now that's a righteous house, a house that honors the Lord, and the Lord is welcome, and His word is welcome and honored, versus a house that is full of wickedness. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32, it tells us, it shows us some things that ought to be put out of a family's home that's going to serve the Lord and going to honor the Lord and honor His word. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There's six things in that scripture right there in that verse that the Lord says that should not be in, that should be put out of your family and out of your home. Let's look at them. Let all bitterness, there's one, and wrath, there's two, and anger, three. Can you imagine a household that just worked on these six things and getting them out? How the children would prosper if those things alone were taken out of the household? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If those six things alone were kicked out of the household and kicked out of your home, can you imagine the change that would be in that house just off of that one verse right there? And then the second half of that verse says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Complete polarities in that verse, isn't there? Isn't there? You see how God operates? That's how God's Word operates. It didn't bring all that stuff and mix it all in together where you couldn't tell what was what. It said one side about something, and it said what to get rid of, and it said, and on the other side of the coin, it said what to bring in. So there's three things that you need to have in your house and in your household, and you need to incorporate them in your household. And you do these things on purpose because the enemy ain't going to let you have it for free. It says be kind one to another. It says to be tender-hearted. It says to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the things that we need to put out of the house, you're talking about having a family life, and that's what the Lord established. The best thing that you can have is a family that's living under the grace and the knowledge of the Word of God here on this earth until we get to heaven. That's God's heaven on earth. The family life. And it says to put these things out. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Put them out of your house and put them out of your home. And it says to be kind one to another. Put that in your house and in your home. Bring in tenderheartedness and bring in forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, according to that verse, what is it that should be in constant part of your home? God's Word. God's Word. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. See how important God says His Word is, and how often. I mean, the Lord says for us to walk with Him 100% of the time. And that our home be devoted to the Word of God and to the Lord. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, serving the Lord is just a choice. It really is. It's a choice. It's something you do on purpose. You make a decision. You make it your decision. And then you stick to it. Then you stick to it. Okay, so that's family life. That's God's heaven on earth. This is some good advice from the Word of God. And the wonderful thing about it is that we have a living God that has the power to back up everything that He says in His Word. If we honor His Word and we incorporate His Word into our family, God will put the power there and make it work. Try it. Don't take my word for it. Try it. Start doing it. I mean, it ain't all going to happen right away, but there's things that you can start doing. You can put away bitterness in the house. Put away wrath in the house. Put away anger and clamor and evil speaking. You can stop all the malice in the house. You can start being kind one to another. You can start being tenderhearted with each other. You can start forgiving one another. You make a choice of whose God is going. Every house has a God. Every person has a God. Whether they say they're atheist or whatever, atheism is a God. They worship theirself. Now, establishing a family altar. There needs to be a family altar in the household. There needs to be some place that everybody comes, especially for devotion to the Word of God and to the Lord, to honor Him. One of the greatest blessings you can enjoy in your home is to have what is termed as a family altar. A family altar is a definite time, a definite place, and an event in the life of your home where the whole family meets around the Word of God to read it, to pray about it, to sing, and to talk. Your family comes together, and you would be so amazed to see what God the Holy Ghost can do to your family if you come all together. I want to remind you, the enemy's going to do everything he can to break and bust this thing up because he knows the power of God, and he knows the power of God's Word. And he knows how it can sew your family together and give your family strength. That family altar. And he's going to try to stop that. He's going to try to embarrass you. He's going to try to make it seem stupid. He's going, you know what he's going to do, but you do it on purpose. And you have faith and you trust the Lord and you do it anyway. But you do it consistently. And you watch what it'll do. You watch the things and the power that God's Word and God the Holy Ghost will bring into that family. In this society today, you know, it'd be one of the most difficult things for you to do, but one of the very best and most rewarding things for you to do. You know, the thing about it is Mama and Daddy got to quit being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and ashamed of the Word of God. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And you know how you become not ashamed of the Lord is on purpose. Is on purpose. I mean, if there was a very sick person that maybe had EB, that skin disease, and their skin was all raw and their body was all decayed and deformed and they were trying to live day by day, and you didn't know how to be around them, you would still muster up the courage to not be ashamed and go in there and do what was right, right? Of course you would. If you had a heart like you're supposed to have and a heart like the Lord, you would make yourself not ashamed. Well, that's what we do with the Lord. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And that's by choice. That's by choice. The first thing the enemy always tries to do is make you ashamed of being affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially being affiliated with the Word. He tries to make you ashamed of the Bible. But we're not going to be ashamed of Him. We have nothing to be ashamed of, do we? And families don't have anything to be ashamed of when it comes to the Word of God. Now, the family altar, there's a few things that are necessary and some things that need to be known. Here's one. It's the responsibility of the family altar. Okay, the responsibility, who's it rest on? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You fathers out there, you're responsible for pulling that family altar together and saying, okay, it's time to have our devotion together, wife, children, come on, at this time, don't be planning on nothing, don't be doing nothing, don't be having anything going on, because this is the time that we come together and honor the Lord together. Family altar. But it says, ye fathers. So the responsibility rests on the fathers. You are commanded by the Lord not to provoke your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition. You nurture them and you also admonish them. You warn them. You give them warnings and you teach them. And you teach them the fear of the Lord and the fear of His Word. The fathers are. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. A whole bunch of that going on without the Word of God in homes. Be surprised how many children are killing themselves because they don't think mama and daddy are listening to them or won't listen to them or have no family devotions or have no family closeness or anything to where there is something coming from the heart. There's something coming from the mouth all the time and something coming from the belt and the paddle and the fist and everything else. But there ain't nothing coming from the heart. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Don't always try to make them. Don't always speak to them and talk to them and have a household to where everything that you your relationship between you and your children that your children are just always mad. And man, we got a society and a population of children in the United States that are angry. They're angry. They're mad. But they don't know why. I don't know why, because they ain't been taught the Word of God. The Bible says the fathers are. Their responsibility for the family altar. The Bible says also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The father, the husband, is responsible for the family altar. He is to teach his wife the Word of God. And fellas, you need to discipline yourself to learn the Word of God and pray that God the Holy Ghost would teach you. He is our teacher, and He does teach you. You give Him a little bit of devotion, He'll give you a lot of understanding. And as you're learning the truth, you will become a better man and a more spiritual man. And as you're learning it, you dump it over and overflow it onto your wife and teach your wife and teach your children. The Bible says that while we're talking about establishing a family altar, the responsibility falls on the father and the husband according to the Word of God. That's what we're interested in knowing. That's the truth. The Word of God. Not your psychologist, not your teacher in school, the public school system, the socialist school system. Not that. Not the neighbor down the street. The father. He's to teach the children. He's to teach them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35, it says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. So you see where the responsibility lies on learning the Word of God or learning something about spiritual matters and about the Lord. The father, the husband, is the one that's supposed to answer the questions for his wife. And you wives, you are to learn from your husbands. You're to ask your husbands. You say, well, my husband doesn't. Well, that's why it needs to get started, doesn't it? You need to, when you're reverencing and you're honoring your husband and showing him respect, then you're listening to him and you're learning from him. And don't be surprised, lady. You can learn from your husband. Yeah, you can. And you men, you can learn enough to where you can teach. You'd be surprised how much respect and reverence and how much that'll drag your family closer together and knit your family together if one is putting out the effort to teach the other one and the other one is respecting the other one in order to learn from them. You'd be surprised how things will fall into place. Try it. See if it works. See if God is right. The second thing in establishing a family are the responsibility of family altars, the husband and the father. But how to establish your family altar? Well, you need to decide. You need to decide on a suitable time, find a good time to where all your children and your wife and you off work and in your home that's appropriate for everybody, and set a time that's convenient for everybody to where everybody will have no excuse. Or we know that things pop into life and pop out of life and blah-bitty-blah. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a convenient time to where everybody knows this time is set aside in everybody's schedule that we come together as a family. An appropriate time, and call a family conference and make a decision on it, and it'll all work out. Now, make a definite commitment to the Lord to establish your family altar and plan to stick to it. Work out a plan of Bible reading and devotion material. I mean, you can't study the Word of God wrongly. If you rightly divide it and you honor God's Word and you believe God's Word, those that come unto Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And God will reward you for honoring His Word. You fellas can't do it wrong. Just get that Bible and start teaching it. But you got to start learning it. And that's not difficult either. This will vary depending on the age of your children and, you know, all these different things that go on and stuff like that. But you can do it, and you should do it. Do it, and do it right away. And then also expect attack. The way that you can know that spiritual things are going on in your household is that when you attempt to do something spiritually and honor the Lord and honor the Word of God, there's going to be resistance. Don't think that it's accidentally going to fall. Expect attack. When you go to come together, expect things that are going to try to, the devil's going to do everything he can to mess everybody up so you can't do these things and you can't come around God's Word, because he knows that when you get around God's Word, it's going to start sewing that family up. Now, here's some suggestions for a good family altar. Always read some scripture. Make sure that the Word of God is honored and everything is surrounds the Word of God. Everything. The Word of God should be the top issue of every family altar. What saith the Lord? The book of Proverbs is a good book to get into, and it's pretty practical and for the family. And you get into that for your family, you could start there. You know, have some hymns, and your children, they love to sing. Children love to sing. And sing with your family. Sing the Word of God. Sing hymns and get hymns and learn it. Learn hymns as a family. You can use prayer cards for a family prayer time. Start praying and pray and ask your children who they want to pray for. They might have some friends that they know that are getting beat or got some problems or something. All your kids, they'd love to. They would love for the fam to see daddy and mama praying for their friends and for their, might want to pray for grandma and just prayer cards. And you'd be surprised how this stuff will come together, because children are all for the Lord unless they're taught to be against Him. Be brief. It's far better to be brief and consistent than a drawn out and haphazard. Don't make it no boring bunch of gobbledygook. Just have truth there. Have honesty and sincerity. And just let God the Holy Ghost do everything else. And He will. And involve the entire family. And, you know, you can use variety. Read some, bring in some Christian biographies or something like that, about like Richard Wurmbrand and how Christians suffer, and bring in some other things, and just, you know, you can incorporate anything into a spiritual lesson as far as teaching, but it's just make sure everything is derived from the Word of God. The root is the Word. You teach that Word. I mean, if you taught the Word of God alone by itself in your devotions, you would be 100% already. But using examples and using illustrations and things like that just make it a lot more eventful and a lot in children's minds. It makes it a lot more colorful and makes the Lord's Word a lot more real and understandable to them. You know what I mean. And you don't have to have a formal, you have formalities, but in a family, it can be informal but biblical. And that the Lord is honored, that's one of the most important things, is that your children and your wife see that you honor the Lord. The children see that the wife is honoring the Lord, and the children are going to think, man, no, I can't go down there. I got family devotions. Oh, you got family devotion? Yes, sir. I got family devotion. I'm going with my mom and daddy. And they see that you honor the Lord and you think the Lord's important enough to come together every day around His Word. Then what they going to think? They're going to think that the Word of God is important, because mom and daddy find it important, and mom and daddy are my examples, and I'm going to think after what they think. And it teaches them that there is a God that's worth worshiping and that's worth talking about, and there is truth in life and there is reason in life. You see, God's Word teaches many, 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 many things, and children pick up on that stuff, and you'd be surprised how content they will become, and content your family will become by honoring God in front of one another. And you not be ashamed of Him. Be careful that the atmosphere of your home is not different than your family altar time. Your family altar, if you keep it consistent, will change the environment of your home. It'll become beautiful. Not to where you don't have troubles and battles and things like that. It'll just be for different reasons. Now we're fighting on the same side. Everybody's on the same side, and we're fighting for the same thing. No hypocrisy. And that will tear your children all to pieces. That's what's killing our children today, and why they're killing themselves and killing each other is because of hypocrisy. Well, that is the family. And that's the conclusion of our family study. Just to recap a little bit, we have talked about the first home. We've talked about the husband's duty to his wife and the wife's duty to her husband. We've talked about the parents' duties to their children. We've talked also about children's duties to their parents. And the family altar, God's heaven on earth, and establishing a family, or the family life, that is, God's heaven on earth, which you put in your family and your house and your home and your family and take out of your family. Then we've talked about establishing a family altar. So let me give you these scriptures, and I want to remind you that if you want these lessons in written form, I have a formal lessons that I have that I teach, and they're on paper. And if you want them, I will email them to you. All you got to do is email me and ask for them. Okay? And I have also every scripture that we have used in the entire lesson written down in written form on paper, and I will email them to you if you would like. All of this is in written form to where you can, as a matter of fact, for your family altar, you could sit down with these lessons, the ABCs of Christian growth, and sit down with your family and go over these things that we're going over. And it'd be beautiful. It'd be beautiful. So, establishing a family altar, here's the scriptures for children's duties to their parents and on down through the rest of the lesson. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35. And the last one is one that is Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Now, the family. I hope you've enjoyed this study. And that it has brought some truth out from God's Word that I know that if you've been listening to it sincerely and you mean it and you're listening to it for the right reason, then you have found some things in God. The Holy Ghost has taught you some things that you need to change and encouraged you and exhorted you that you're doing things right. And we're thankful for that. But mostly because the Word of God teaches us the truth. All of this is truth. Why? Because God's Word says it. Because God's Word says it. And if we'll honor God's Word in our family, then things will come together and things will work. You know, the world hasn't got any idea or any hope in they change this drug, change that drug, do this council, that council, blabbity, blabbity, blab, and nothing works. That's because there's no power behind any of it. No power. God the Holy Ghost is behind His Word. And if we'll honor His Word, He'll give us the power for these things to work. God always honors His Word. The family and the Christian home. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll start our next lesson on the lesson number 7, which is also the letter F. And it'll be on forgiveness and forgiving. Forgiveness and forgiving. And this is something that everybody needs to know about and what the scriptures say about forgiveness and what the scriptures say about forgiving. I hope you that you'll continue to listen in. You'll continue to be devoted to these lessons, and not because of me. I ain't nobody. I'm just like you. I'm dependent upon God's mercy and His love for my life, and I couldn't make it without Him. If it wasn't for Him, I would self-destruct, and so would you. And it's because of Him and His power and His grace in our lives and His strength, isn't it? And we're thankful for that. So God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is you're having. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.